Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 97, part 3, No One But Jesus. Today is Friday, May 8th, 2009.
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts.
April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
On Friday, we ministered on what faith is, and we touched 5 points, which I'll mention now. The object of faith, Jesus is the object and no other object. Sometimes we get off with other objects and we get dried up. And the reason of faith and his faith comes from God. Sinners come not because they are sensible sinners, not because they are grieving or penitent or alarmed or repentant sinners. They come because they listen to the command. And because it was put in their heart, it was put in their mouth, the word that we preach, you must be born again. You must receive Jesus, and it's put right into your spirit. See, because today, while you're even sitting here, maybe you're feeling like, oh, I don't feel it. I go by feelings. Hasn't got nothing to do with it. I led a woman to the Lord. She says, well, I didn't feel anything. I says, that hasn't got anything to do with it. You obeyed the command and came in. When you go to work in the morning, you don't feel like going, but you feel like getting your pay at the end of the day. You just went ahead and obeyed and punched in and punched out and you got paid. You went because there was a promise and you believed the promise. That's the way it is. It's so simple in the warrant of our faith. Why do we come? Because Jesus commands us, come. Simple as that. Why are you saved? Because you are and you want to be. And even while I'm preaching right now, you go, oh, I know all. No, you don't. God, we'd be so happy if we knew all that, people. Wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Oh, and I know I'm ministering to radio audiences. I know it. I know right now there's someone out there that's listening. And the result of our faith is this. The minute you believe, you are saved. Forever. So now let's go on with the same scripture. John 3 and 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. We ended up Friday saying faith leads us to justification, which is, by the way, a gift to our soul as a result of our faith. So let us then, with this high privilege, then occupy our attention today, this high privilege of justification. You are justified. John 3 and 18 again then, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Number one, we will look at this satisfactory declaration. Number two, we shall try and correct certain misapprehensions respecting it by, let's say, the reason of which the Christian is often put down. And thirdly, then we shall close with some reflections, positive and negative, as to what the text says and what it includes and what it excludes. So number one then, what a satisfactory declaration. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Ooh, isn't that satisfactory? Well, maybe you want some great big long teaching on it. No, it's satisfactory. He that believeth on him, hallelujah, is not condemned. I mean, a verdict in our own courts of law of not guilty means the prisoner then is released immediately. You are immediately released. Immediately without charge. And when the gospel says not condemned, it means the sinner is justified. Oh, God, that's so beautiful if you can grab it. Faith doesn't produce fruits by and by, oh, no. But now, glory to God, we are justified as a result of our faith. We are justified the minute that we believe. The minute. The thief on the cross was justified the moment he believed. The very moment he believed, he was justified. And now we look at Paul, who was in chains and was in prison and a martyr after years of suffering. It was no more justified than that thief on the cross. He could boast in nothing other than the cross. And one of the hobos, or one of the people on the street that come to the Lord, and you've been on the Lord 20 years, I've been in the Lord going to church. He's just as justified as you are. You've been free longer, that's all. You want some credit for being free? Praise the Lord. Maybe he did more out there than you did in here. See, he's just as justified as a person that's been saved for 100 years. I think that's good news to all you listening on the radio. You're not way behind. You're just as justified, for our whole walk is to glory in Christ and not to glory in ourselves or how long we've been working, how long we've been going to church. Oh, I suffered for Christ for 50 years. Count it all joy, hallelujah. Count it all joy. You don't want to? Well, then you won't have no joy. You'll count it as sorrow, and that's what you'll get, sorrow. And you'll reap that. I'll leave it up to you. Praise God. Now the hobo is going to be way ahead of you, and he just got saved today. Woo, see, it's all in the way that you look at it. Well, I don't know. I just been through it this week. You don't know. Well, count it all joy. Count it all joy. But you don't know what people did to me. They were mean to me. Of course they were. It's the way people are, don't you know? Oh, I'll tell you right now, he who is saved today are looked at as innocent in God's sight. Totally innocent. Radiantly beautiful. I mean, the guy that just got saved, what kind of merits does he have? No merits on his own. He's got Jesus. That's his merit. He's right at your level. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, you don't look at him as being at your same level. But remember what the Word of God says, that he is no respecter of persons. Now, that's going to encourage people to come in. They don't have to elevate themselves to where you're at. But they receive the moment that they're saved, they are justified, just as justified as you were the moment you were saved 50 years ago. See, we grow in grace. We don't grow in pardon. Well, I've been pardoned for 50 years. Well, pardon me. You grow in grace. And when you grow in grace, you see this person over here is pardoned. You say, wow, we're brothers in Christ. We're equal. See, there are some clusters, let's say, of grapes. We won't gather until we get up into heaven. But there are clusters right now that are ripe right now, and we can pluck them and we can eat them right now. And I'm talking about the justification grape. You can eat it right now, the whole cluster. Glory to God. We are now, even now, pardoned. Oh, I don't feel pardoned. I am just meaner than hell itself all week. I have failed. You're still pardoned. Doesn't have anything to do. You're still justified. Oh, I think the person over here is more justified because they've been doing a whole lot of nice things and I haven't been doing nothing. I just feel terrible. Has nothing to do with it. Yeah, but if my mate could only climb to and elevate to the position that I have, or he or she is just as justified as you are. Probably more. If that were to be possible. But see, it isn't. Justification is of the Lord. He is the one that justifies. He is the one that glorifies. Aren't you glad? Aren't you? Well, you don't look very glad. You don't sound very glad. You don't look very glad over the radio or listen to this tape. Aren't you glad? Our sins, I'm saying, are completely put away. And even now we stand before God as though we had never, ever been guilty. Never, ever been guilty. Never, ever been guilty. Doesn't that excite you to keep awake? Never, ever, but you want to hear this. Don't miss it. Now, me and the brother got a thing going here. He told me to wake him up with a horn whenever he fell asleep, and so I did. I woke up several others, so praise God. Thank you, brother. You're a blessing to the whole church, because they weren't listening, a whole lot of them. Say amen, somebody. Or they would have more joy. You are justified. Hallelujah. I think that's so great when we finally grab it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is not a sin in the book of God, even now against one of his people. Not one is written down. Now, aren't you glad about that? Well, I am. There is nothing laid to their charge. Not a speck, not a spot, not a wrinkle, nor any such thing remaining upon any one believer. No, friends, listen to what I have to say in the matter of justification. In the sight of the judge of all the earth, he sees you as perfect. Now, it's only your unbelief that can keep you from believing that. Now, how many want to believe that? Well, doesn't the Bible say it is he that justifies? Say amen. Well, maybe there's someone out there that you say, well, I think I'm more justified. If anyone was to be justified, I should be, but not that person over there. No. It's not the way it works. The minute they believed, they are justified. Whoa, glory to God. But let's go on to what the text means, not only present, but a continual justification. Continual. Now, aren't you glad that it continues? Well, I think now I can make it on my own. No. You need a continual justification. The moment we believed, it was said of us, he is not condemned. Is not. Now, years have passed away, you say. Many changes we have seen, you say. But I say this to you, still to today, he is not condemned. Not, and never will be. For Christ is the one that justifies. Oh, glory to God. And when our time is up, and none of us know when that is, could be today. Every word of God is assured. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Listen to the words. Oh, what a foretaste. You're only getting a little taste. You're only getting the oidoids. You're just getting a little bit. There's a feast coming up. And you got to get yourself ready for the battle that's going to happen at the very end. And the devil's going to come against the justification message. He's going to come against the election message. He's going to come against the predestinated message. And he's going to come against the message, simply believe and live. And you have to be grounded in the faith. I mean planted and rooted and grounded and know where you're at so you won't be shaken by any wind of doctrine. Say amen, somebody. So that you won't get off on some kind of a claiming or some kind of a prosperity or something that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Absolutely, positively nothing. And I hope for the Lord's sake that we're hearing this message today and we glorify God in what we do. Not in our puffed up knowledge, not in how much that we minister to the people, but that we recognize that Jesus sees us, sinners that we are, all of us, and you go to the cross every day as a sinner. As much as a sinner as the day you were saved, you're a sinner now saved by grace. I don't believe that. There's a lot of good in me now. I have grown. You've grown in grace. You have not grown in pardon. Say amen. Pardon is pardon. Pardon is I'll remember your sins no more. Isn't that enough? And that means all your sins. Ones you're going to commit tomorrow. Oh, now you're telling people to go out and willfully and wantonly, and you're telling them to expect to sin. No, I'm saying they are sinners and they will sin. But as they grow in the love of God, they'll give up things. Say amen, somebody, and they'll have no more desire to do it. Whoa, are you hearing this message today? 50 years from now, our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, just like they are right now. Oh, isn't that good news? Say amen, somebody. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Is not condemned. No matter how long they live, he that believeth on him is not condemned. It still stands. I give unto to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Wow. The just shall live by faith. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And all these promises go to show that the justified, which in Christ Jesus, through our faith, is a continual one. It goes on. Which shall last as long as we live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And remember also, it will last through all eternity. Now, I know this is too good to be true. I know people don't want to receive it because they think, well, hey, I want to work at it. I got to put on some woolen clothes. I got to work up a sweat. I got to walk on my knees for a week. I have to say 40 Hail Marys. I have to do all these things. This is something I have to do to receive this. No, receive it. Receive it. You on the radio, receive it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the witness of the Spirit out there in the street, down in the kitchen, wherever we go, we preach the message. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. And glory that it works. Oh, it works. Glory to God. And all the glory goes to God. Are you hearing this? Oh, glory. It's going to last for an eternity. We shall wear the same dress in heaven that you're wearing right now. You have on the wedding garment right now. You don't check in like you do when you get into the army and they give you a wedding garment. You got it on right now. It's the same garment you're going to wear when you go to the wedding feast. You're covering the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of the Lord. And don't forget that you have it on. Praise the Lord. You got the same garment on now as you're going to have when you get up there. It is a finished what? Work. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, but what if it wears out? What if it gets torn or gets a hole in it or something? Oh, what if this righteousness fades? Don't worry. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his righteousness shall never pass away. Never, 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 never. Don't worry about it wearing out. No moth shall ever bother it. No thief shall ever steal it. It is eternal. Glory to God. And the text clearly teaches us that he that believeth on Jesus Christ has received forever, and not only a forever, a continual justification. Oh. Aren't you glad? Do you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow? Do you know exactly what your attitudes are going to be tomorrow? If you do, then you're puffed up in yourself and you're saying, tomorrow I'm going to be a good person. The Lord says there is no good thing in you saving Jesus Christ. You are a sinner saved by grace. And as soon as you start to receive that, glory to God, you can start walking in the fullness of Christ and not in the fullness of yourself. That's why we're so bored and so peaked out. Because we're living in the fullness of ourselves and not in the fullness of Christ. Say amen, somebody. Now, it's exciting to be filled with the presence of the Lord. Exciting! Woo! Now, I know some think I'm completely crazy, but how do you get a message across? When you believe in it, you believe in it, you believe in it. Whoa. Ooh, are you hearing it? Ooh, glory to God. I want everybody to hear this message today. A complete justification. He that believeth on him is not condemned, which means not condemned in any measure, which means in any degree are you condemned? Zero, zilch. Are you hearing it? Some think it's possible, and I've talked to a lot of them, to be in such a state as to be half condemned and half accepted. Well, that's how people feel sometimes, don't they? Well, I know I'm accepted, but I don't feel accepted. That'd be like being half in the house and half out of the house. Or half in bed and half out of bed. Is that comfortable? Or half at rest, one eye closed, one eye open. Or half at peace, peace twitch, peace twitch, peace twitch. Peace twitch. or half joy? Huh? Huh? No, it's full justification! Well, what does that mean, justification? I should explain that word. It means you're justified. In whatever you do, you're justified. Because the justification isn't yours, the justification is Jesus Christ. Sound like some kind of a strange doctrine to you, sonny boy? Or little Miss Sweetie Pie? You better believe it's the greatest, grandest thing that ever happened to you, that you're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith is what does it. Faith in the Lord, believing on the Lord. And you know, when you get that down deep in your soul, you change. Say amen, somebody. And so listen, I think there's a lot of people, they think that so far as we are sinners, so far are we condemned. And so far as that we are righteous, so far as we are accepted. In other words, if we're righteous three-quarters of the way, then we're accepted three-quarters of the way. Sort of a purgatory message again, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, he made it. He's 75% home. It's almost like a horse race. And they're rounding the bend, huh? It's win, it's place, it's show. It's a sort of thing like that, isn't it? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me to get this message across. Lord, help me to get it across. Help the understanding to come. Help me to keep it simple. Holy Spirit, speak to people's hearts today. Well, I'm telling you, this is not the gospel, this kind of preaching. God isn't scoring your goodness. Do you think God keeps track of all the good things you do? No, all the good things you do go to the credit of the Holy Spirit, for all we can do in ourselves is evil, and continually so. Well, golly, I did a good thing, but what was your motive? See, you're encased in this body of the flesh, all right? You got a beautiful thing happening on the inside. God's transforming you, the inner man, daily. You can't boast in the flesh, though. That's what I'm trying to say here. Now, there's an inner person that's beautiful, being made Christ-like every day, and you're going to lose this shell. It's going to drop into the ground. It's going to die. It's going to have 30, 60, 90, 100-fold. It's going to go to heaven. But there's still that evil old self there. But don't get condemned by that, because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, am I getting through? I broke through with someone there. They were just thinking, oh, I don't know about this. But I broke through it. I'm partly in there. I got my fingers in the door like a vacuum cleaner salesman. My foot in there, you know. And they're slapping me with a newspaper. But at least I've made entry. If it be of works, the Bible says, it is no more of grace. And if it be of grace, it cannot be of works. Isn't that right? Because works and grace cannot mix. That's like fire and it's like water mixing. You cannot mix the grace of God and works. They won't mix. No, they won't. It's either one or the other, and it can't be both, and it can never be allied. It can't be half and half. It can't be a quarter by three quarter. It can't. Yeah, it says like that, he that believeth is free from all iniquity. Do you want to be free from part of your iniquity? Do you want to be free from part of your iniquity? No, you are free from all your iniquity. You are free from all your sin. Now, this is a fantastic message. And Jesus Christ made it possible for us to give this message. You that believeth are free from all blame. Doesn't that sort of take the zing out of kind of wanting to do wrong? You're free! What does that mean? That means there's a great big jailhouse full of demons in there. And you've been let out. You've been given a full pardon by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're free. Well, I'm going to go back in then. You go back in where those demons are. Are you still free while you're in there? According to justification, you are. You know what? You ain't going to stay there long because you don't have nothing in common with them anymore. They'll beat you up alongside of your head. Wish you never came in there. How many hearing this? How many know that does happen? How many know that's happened to you and it's happened to a whole lot of people? They go in and out. What does the Bible say about going in and out? Oh, glory to God. How many hearing this message today? And God says, who shall lay charge against God's elect? Now the devil may accuse you. But we are free even from accusations. Because the Bible says, like I say, and God says, who shall lay charge against God's elect? Nobody. God won't do it. It doesn't say, who shall prove it? There's nothing for the devil to prove. All right, Father? No. He can't even call him Father. Look what they're doing down here. Now take a look. Oh, come on. Don't see it. He says, all I see is Jesus. I don't see any of that. Well, maybe there's somebody that you want to get, that you think that should be hit by fire, Whammo. You aren't receiving this message because there's somebody you think should be hit by fire. Call fire down on them, God! You don't know from whence spirit you're speaking from. Who shall prove it? It doesn't say that. But who shall lay charge against God's elect? They can't take you to court. There's none on the calendar. These people are completely, and we're completely free from all condemnation, no iniquity. And so when the devil says, look what they're doing down there, we stand before God completely cleansed. Their sins are not simply erased, but blotted out. Like they never committed them. Not simply out of sight, but cast into the depths of the sea. Not merely gone as, let's say, gone as far as the east is from the west, but forever, once and for all, gone. What does that mean, gone? When God says gone, they're gone. Aren't you glad, or were you planning to blackmail some other sinner on things that they had done? Father, and we do it in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, you know this person. You know how they have sinned grossly against you, Lord. And Lord, it is my desire that you bring them in, Lord, and that you show them their nasty, filthy, perverted selves, oh God, so that they can shape up and stop bothering the body with all of their nasty, gross sins. Oh Father, they are so terrible! Let me tell you something, that prayer isn't even heard. Because while you're praying it, you're justified, and the one you're praying for that's saved and fallen into sin is justified. Case closed. Do you want God to look at you real close? Huh? How many want God to look at them real close and pick apart that prayer? God getting kind of quiet in here. Were you planning on blackmailing somebody? You can't blackmail them. Jesus said, "It is finished. I offer a perfect offering. It needs no additions. It will never fade." And Christians lay hold of this powerful thought. From condemnation we have entirely, let me say it plainly, irrevocably been made free. Now, I know that there's a dumb spirit in here that is not receiving this at all. Because I'll tell you, and there's one on the radio right now it's just running back and forth. It can hardly, it's choking on your Pepsi-Cola right now and your graham crackers. You sluggards that are laying in bed. You're still justified if you're saved. Lazy, but justified. Say amen, somebody. This is too heavy for people. Until God really shows them their self. Say amen, somebody. I guess when I got a good look at myself, I praise the Lord for justification. Oh, what are you doing? None of your business, but it's not any open, gross sin. It's just the nature. It's just the rebellion that comes up. It's just the argument of spirit that comes up. It's just that self-righteousness that raises up once in a while. It's those things that I'm speaking of. All sin! The unbelief, that's sin, isn't it? Of the grossest kind. We are entirely free from all the bondages of the law. They're all gone, and you have been made rapture ready. You are rapture ready. Are you trying to get ready for the rapture? Oh, there's so many in all you. One day they'll think about the rapture. And so all week then they're rapture ready. They're trying to get ready for it. Oh, I want to be ready when the rapture comes. You are ready. He has made you ready. And when you rest in that, you won't mess up. You know when you mess up, do you ever try to... That's like you're riding a bicycle along and there's a stone there and you try to be like, "Oh, I'm going to miss that stone." But if you have faith, you just say, "Oh, a stone there." Shoo, shoo, and you go around it. But if you try real, real hard to get ready, what's going to happen? You're going to be unready because you're going to be mean and irritable to everybody else. "I'm getting ready!" It's like somebody getting ready for a trip. "I told you to get in and get... Can't you tie me minutes? I don't even want to go on this trip. I know how it's going to end. I know how it's going to be." But when you pray before you start to get ready for the trip, say, "Lord, help us to get ready for this trip." He helps you, and he gives you the patience with the children, and he gives you patience with a dumb husband. "Oh, you are a stupid man," I heard a woman tell her husband. "I love you, but you are so stupid." Or on the other hand, "I love my wife, but she's such a nag." God will give you peace through all that. And he'll make you ready, just like he made you ready for the rapture and like he makes you ready for every day, he'll make you ready for the rapture. You're rapture ready already! Already? Are you hearing it? If we could grab a hold of this today, a piece of it. No iniquity! Completely free of it. Entirely, irrevocably free. Glory to God. It's the royal privilege of justification. And it will never miscarry. It shall be brought home to every believer. You are guiltless. Your sins are gone. And don't wonder where they went. Don't go looking for trouble. Do you ever have a sin leave and you, "I don't have the desire to do that no more. I don't have the desire to drink no more. I wonder why. And I've lost the desire to smoke, and I've lost the desire to lust. I wonder, what, is there something wrong with me? When I lost those things, I thought there was something wrong with me. Thought I lost my manhood. I did. But God, there's something wrong with me. Wow. I'm dead from the ankles up. I did. Some even go out looking for it, looking for trouble. I wonder why. And they go out and then they try it again, see? It's no fun anymore. They're dead to it. I tried smoking and I gagged and puked and everything else. Ooh, yes. Messages learned from trial and error. How many here need? Without trial, you aren't walking anyway. Say amen, somebody. See, it's a matter of fact, as much a matter of fact as you have sinned. It's a matter of fact that you are justified. Just as matter of fact is that you have sinned. Now, how many recognize that you have sinned? Why can't you recognize now then that you're justified? I do. Put your hands up. Don't you recognize that you're justified? Who did it for you? You do not now doubt that you have sinned, do you? You can't doubt that. Then why do you doubt and why can't you believe that your sins are put away? As surely as you were dirty, just as surely you are cleansed continually by the blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. You are freed from prison, delivered from the law. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to feel threatened. You don't have to be threatened. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to feel guilty. You got to begin to see the garment that you're wearing right now. That perfect, righteous garment. And that God smiles on you. And all that he sees is Christ's obedience. Think of it. There is no condemnation. Moreover, there shall never be any condemnation. Now, doesn't that set you free? Someone wants to go out and sin. They say, I'm not condemned. There is no condemnation, the voice comes. No condemnation. You mean they could go right in there and do that thing? I'm not condemned. Well, as often as you do this in remembrance of me when you take a communion. When you start to see Jesus only, and you back off from that thing. You just back off from it because the love of God constrained you. Back off. See, your forgiveness is not partial, but perfect. And I believe it's so effectual that it delivers us from all the penalties of the law, all of them. It gives us all the privilege of what? Of obedience. Say amen, somebody. And puts us actually high above where we should have been if we had never sinned. That's a kind of a beautiful thing, isn't it? That must frustrate the devil. We have a higher standing than if we would have kept the law perfectly. Because our standing is in Christ. So if you're